So I will attempt to say something in glorification of Lord Varaha. This particular chapter, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, is an amalgamation of the two incarnations of Lord Bohr. He came in the first incarnation, the Shweta Varaha millennia. This was at the time of Swayambhuva Manu. And he also appeared in the Chakshusha Manu, the Chakshusha millennia. So when we read the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not always clear to, at least to myself, it's not always clear which particular pastime has been described. But it doesn't matter so much because we are devotees. The pastime is purifying, and it's not so much that we are historians and we have to make sure everything is in chronological order like this. It's not so important. The actual purpose of this recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam is to purify the heart. So it does not matter when the pastime took place. So according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the first part of the chapter at least is the describing the Shweta Varaha incarnation. This is the Shweta Varaha millennia. So Shweta Varaha means what, the white boar, right? What other colour does he come as? Does he come as red? I think he does, yeah, right. So sometimes he's white and sometimes he's red. When he comes as the red incarnation, I'm putting two and two together, I'm making four, maybe I'm making five, I don't know. But when he comes as the red incarnation, at that time, Hiranyaksha, he had been extracting the gold from the earth. So this changed the floating property of the earth. Prabhupada criticizes the modern demons who they extract the oil from the earth. They think the oil belongs to them. Actually, everything belongs to Krishna. But they are extracting this oil to become wealthy. So Prabhupada says that this is dangerous. By changing the internal structure of the earth globe, it can lose its floating property. This is not, I don't think modern scientists would agree with this. But what do they know? There are many dimensions to Vedic knowledge. I remember Sariputta used to describe the solar system according to modern science and according to the Vedic science, and there were some very interesting correlations that we weren't aware of. For example, the various dweeps that run around Bhumandala, the distances are given in the Bhagavatam, and he analyzed those distances and discovered that they were the same as the orbits of the planets according to modern science. If you take the Earth to be the center, then we have, well, the Sun goes around the Earth. But then we have all the planets going around the Sun. So if the Sun's going around like this, and the other planets are going around the Sun, then they make a kind of donut. They travel in a kind of shape which makes a donut. And if you measure the distances, according to the dweeps in the Bhagavatam, these distances correspond to the distances of the various planets, like Saturn, Jupiter, or whatever, from the Earth. And this is quite amazing. I mean, it shows that the Bhagavatam is truth on many dimensions at the same time. So if an ignorant scientist says that, well, extracting oil from the Earth is not going to make the Earth drop from its orbit, at least according to Newton, well, we don't care because our science is more advanced. It contains dimensions which they are unaware of, which are only revealed if one purifies the heart, like this. So we take these pastimes to be 100% truth. Actually, the word Hiranyaksha, what does it mean? It means one who is seeking after gold. I'm trying to figure out the meaning of the word. I saw it in the Back to Godhead magazine. It means one who is hunting for gold. Now, Aksha means the eyes, also means all the senses. So if one is engaging all one's senses in trying to accumulate gold, then such a person is Hiranyaksha. Yeah, so this particular verse, this is describing the Shweta Varaha pastime. So that is slightly different. In the Shweta Varaha pastime, the Lord is in the process of creating at the beginning of creation. And he diverts his attention to creation, and at that time the earth becomes inundated by the Garbha ocean. So his son, Swayambhuva Manu, and his wife, Satarupa, they approach Lord Brahma and say, we want to follow your order. So he's saying, well, I want you to create progeny, populate the universe. And they say, well, Where are these progeny going to reside? The earth has come under the garb of ocean. Where are they going to reside? So Lord Brahma understands this is a problem. So he meditates, how am I going to pick the earth out of the garb of ocean? So as the most intelligent being, he turns to Lord Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as he's thinking, as he's breathing, a little creature comes out of his nose, size of the tip of the thumb. This is Lord Varaha. He appears out of the nose of Lord Brahma. And just as he appears, he suddenly expands into a massive boar incarnation. Lord Brahma and all his associates, they are trying to figure out, who is this creature? And in today's verse, it's describing the creature roared. And they were enlivened by this roar. Why? Because they are devotees. Anything the Lord does, the devotees are enlivened, and the demons, they are afraid. This roar is described later on. This roar is simultaneously enlivening to his devotees, but it casts fear into the hearts of the non-devotees. Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. The Lord has a special reciprocal relationship with his devotee. Sadavo Hridayam Mahyam, Sadhunam Hridayam Tvaham. The Lord is the heart of the devotee, and the devotees are the heart of the Lord. So when the Lord comes, the devotees are enlivened, the demons, they are afraid. What is the reason for the Lord's incarnation? What does it say in the Bhagavad Gita? Why does the Lord actually come? Who knows the verse? The fourth chapter. It explains why the Lord comes. What is the translation? And what is the other verse? Yes. And what is the Sanskrit verse for that? Yes. Okay. So to deliver the pious, to annihilate the miscreants, to re-establish principles of religion. These three reasons is why the Lord comes. So it is very enlivening for the devotees when the Lord comes. They are not afraid. They can understand just by the voice. It gave them the realization within the heart that this is actually none other than the Supreme Personality of God in himself. And one should never think, because I mean, in the material world, a boar is a low creature. I mean, who here has been to Vrindavan, seen the boars in Vrindavan? I mean, this is like, they just go around the gutter where all the stool is, and they're just wallowing in it. It's just paradise for them. I mean, this is dull senses, right? We think about it. This is like extremely dull senses, that they have a taste for this. But one should never think the Lord is somehow Lord himself. Actually, when the Lord comes, why does he come? He came to this material world, and he fought and killed Hiranyaksha. So why did he do it in the first place? What does the Lord gain out of this? What is his purpose? Well, it's explained. He enjoys a fight, right? The fighting propensity. We all have this. Well, I don't know about the ladies, but the men, they have this fighting propensity. They like to take up sports and competition, etc. So the Lord, he has the same propensity. But he cannot fight in the spiritual world. Well, he can wrestle with the cowherd boys, but if he wants a good fight with a demon, he comes to this world. But the Lord is, when he comes, he's not really coming, right? Because everything is spiritual for the Lord. The vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this material world, it said, Veda Vedatmakam Vishvam. This material universe is one with and different from the Lord. So from his perspective, it's simply another part of his energy. He's not like the living entity. It's said in the Bhagavad Gita, Icha Dvesha Samutena Dvanva Mohena Bharata Sarvabhutani Samoham Sargayanti Parantapa. The conditioned living entities, they are born into delusion. They are bewildered by the dualities of desire and hate. But for the Lord, this is different. The Lord's incarnation is different. And if we understand the hidden meaning of the Lord's incarnation, then we will not take birth again in this material world. What's the verse from Bhagavad Gita that says that? Ivam yoveti tatvara chaktva deham punarjama naiti mameti sojuna. Yes. So the Lord, he's described in this purport, well, he's described in the verse as maya maya. So in the purport, Prabhupada gives three meanings to this word. Does anyone remember any of the meanings to the word maya? One of them is, we all know the meaning. There's one very obvious meaning. What does maya mean? Knowledge is one of the meanings, yes. Knowledge. Illusion. Mercy, yes. In this particular translation, maya maya is said all merciful. So Prabhupada explains that he is all three things. How is he all knowledge? It's actually explained in the next purport. When Brahma was thinking, he was how to solve the problem of having the earth inundated, he was breathing. And it's described that as he inhaled the breath of Lord Vishnu. Now, what is the breath of Lord Vishnu? It is the Vedas. The Vedas are none different from Lord Vishnu. They are the breath of Lord Vishnu. Vedo Narayana Sakshat Swayambhur Iti Shushruma. The Yamadutas, they told the Vishnudutas, the Vedas are directly Lord Narayan, and they are Swayambhu, they are self-manifest. They're not like created, they're eternal. So when Lord Brahma breathed in, he breathed in the Vedas. And when he breathed out Lord Bohr, who was the Vedas personified. Therefore he is Maya Maya, he is the personification of knowledge. And he's all merciful. He comes to deliver the pious, nihilic miscreants. And he is illusion. How is he illusion? I'm trying to think as well. What does he mean by that? Yeah, I was thinking this. Yeah, there's a verse in, also from the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Ajopi san avyayatma bhutanamishvaropi san Prakritim svam adishtaya sambhavam ya atma mayaya. Although I'm unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living entities, I still take birth in every millennium in my original transcendental form. So in this verse, the term is used as atma maya. He comes by his own maya. The Lord's body is Satchidananda. What is Satchidananda? They are simply the energies of the Lord. Therefore, he is maya. He is Yoga Maya, his body is transcendental. But he's also, for the demons, he's also Maya in a different way, because he bewilders them. Like when he fought with Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha was using mystic power. He was trying. First of all, they were slugging at each other with maces, and they were both covered in blood. He was described that even the transcendental body of the Lord was full of injuries, and blood was coming out. And he was smacking Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha's body was like steel. And it's described he was so high, it was like he was kissing the sky. And when he walked, the whole earth was shaking. He was the perfect demon. He was the strongest demon. Very happy to be... A demon is very happy to have a body like this. Right? Demon means... Ishvaroham aham yog bogi. Siddhoham balavam suki. According to the Bhagavad Gita, the demoniac mentality means... Siddhoham, I am perfect. Balavan, I am strong. Sukhi, I am happy. Yeah. Ishvaroham, I am the supreme controller. Humbogi, I am the joy enjoyer. This is the demoniac mentality. And Hiranyaksha, he was well endowed with all these features. So he thought he was the greatest demon. In fact, as soon as he was born, the first thing he does, he takes his club and he goes to the heavenly planets to find the demigods for a battle. And what did they do? They were hiding. They were afraid of him. So then he dove into the ocean, and he went to the abode of Varuna, and he mocked Varuna. He fell down at his feet and begged him for a fight. And Varuna was very angry with him. But he controlled himself, and he said, you know, I am too old. I think the only person that can satisfy you in battle is Lord Vishnu. Then he warned him, but he will smash you, and you will lie on the battlefield dead, surrounded by dogs. But here in Raksha, he was foolish. He did not consider this to be the case. So he sought after Lord Varaha. So he dove into the Garbha Ocean. He found Lord Varaha. And he challenged him to a fight. And he threatened him, you know, I will smash your skull. When you are destroyed, and all the sages and brahmanas, they will die as well, just like a tree dies when it loses its root. This was his mentality. He wanted to smash not only Lord Bohr, he wanted to smash the whole Vedic culture. Who does that remind us of? Kamsa, right? Kamsa was the same. But he had a different mentality. Kamsa was like, I'll kill all the brahmanas and the cows. And then Lord Vishnu, he depends on them, therefore he will die. He was thinking the other way around. Of course, they're connected. If you kill one, you kill the other. This is the demoniac mentality. So like this, Lord Varaha, he was full of big words, but could he put them into practice? Lord Varaha challenged him. Okay, if you can talk the talk, then you walk the walk. Let's fight like this. Challenged him. You know, if you think you're so great, he said, anyone who deserves a seat in an assembly can back up their words. So he says to Hiranyaksha, back up your words. So then they started fighting, and the blood is coming down. And this is all like rasa for the Lord, because this is as they're smelling the blood, they both become more and more angry, and this is just a great festival of fighting. And Lord Brahma and the sages, they're watching, but for them, they're in distress because they don't understand the full meaning of what's going on here. So as it's going on, Lord Brahma, he's very very fearful, and he cries out, "Please don't play with this demon. Just kill him." Like this, he's afraid of the great disturbance that Hiranyaksha has caused throughout the universe. So the Lord, he just laughs at this. He knows what's going on. He just laughs. It's all fun for him. So as they're fighting, what happens? Hiranyaksha, very good demon, he manages to knock the club out of Lord Varaha's hands. And the club falls. It's blazing club falls through the sky. And everyone's like, oh, what's going on? And they're all afraid. Is this demon going to kill Lord Varaha, right? They're thinking. But to his credit, Hiranyaksha, he did not strike the Lord. He had an open hit there. The Lord was unarmed, and he had the chance to strike him with his mace. But he respected the law of single combat. So he said to Lord Varaha, you pick up your club. And this inspired the Lord with more anger. So they continued fighting. And this time, the Lord with his foot, he knocked the club out of Hiranyaksha's hand. And so he reciprocated and said, you pick up your club now. You know, very good etiquette in the way they were fighting. So then Hiranyaksha, very angry, and he hurled his mace. And the Lord just nonchalantly caught it. And he became disheartened. So he decided, I'll try some other tactic. So Hiranyaksha's got a trident. So then he hurled his trident at Lord Varaha. And he cut it up with the Sudarshan Chakra. And then he started using his mystic city. This is going back to why I was getting onto this, because I was talking about why the Lord is Maya. It's because he has superior mystic potency to Hiranyaksha, to all the demons. So Hiranyaksha, he's using his mystic powers. He is creating rain, a rain of blood, pus, stool, urine, and bones. It's all coming from the sky, and all kinds of ugly, hideous creatures are appearing, trying to bewilder Lord Varaha. But he just employs his Sudarshan Chakra and annihilates, just dispels this illusion. Then Hiranyaksha is pounding him with his fists, but no one can make any impact on the body of the Lord. It's so hard and strong. So then he grabs him. It's described that Hiranyaksha grabs him in his arms, but then Lord Varaha's mystic power, Hiranyaksha notices, he's outside my arms. You know, I just had him in my grasp, now he's standing outside of me, like this. So in this way, the Lord is playing like this. So finally, he just slaps him on the ear. Slaps Hiranyaksha on the ear, and all his bones break, and he just falls down dead, like that. And there's a purport in the, I think it's the first or the second canto, it's describing the incarnation of Lord Bohr, and it's described how he pierced Hiranyaksha with his tusk. So then some people are thinking, well, how did he slap him on the ear? He pierced him with a tusk. How did he really do it? So the acharyas, they say, actually he did both. First he slapped him on the ear, then when he was dead, he then pierced him with his tusk like this. So in this way, Lord Varaha was victorious, and all the devotees were happy. Hiranyaksha was off to his next incarnation. Lord Varaha Devaki Jai. So does anyone have any comments or questions?